Praise the Lord. Message number 45. The title of the message, Do Not Be Worried. Let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and let us read from verse 25 to verse 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day have enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Bless this time, Lord, and anoint my lips with your word. And let your word, O Lord, bring you glory and honor and the harvest that you desire to see in the life of your people. We pray, O Lord, that this message will encourage your people and direct them and increase their faith unto you, and it will help to remove worries, doubts, and anxieties from the life of your people and your servants who are waiting to hear your word, O Lord. We thank you and we praise you, O Lord. This is all we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Do not be worried. This is a very hard thing. People, even including myself, whether we are aware or no, we find ourselves falling into worries. And when we say, don't worry, sometimes even we say, don't worry, but we ourselves having much of worries. But the Lord today is telling us, don't worry. Don't worry is not only an encouraging word, but it's also a command from God. But we'll study today about it. And we will study how to apply and enjoy this command of the Lord. This is the word of God, don't worry. And this also is a command of the Lord for us. And as we obey the command of the Lord, we will enjoy the privilege of being not worry about tomorrow. When the winter comes, we are worrying about summer, or how when summer will come, what we will do. And when summer will come, we are worrying how we will be facing the winter. Everyone who hears the message have worries. Have worries about tomorrow. How about tomorrow? What I will do? When such things happen, what I will do? When I am going to meet this person, what I will do? How about next week? How about next month? How about now we are managing, but when the prices more increase, what we will do? Now we are fine in this place, but if we move to that place or to the another place, how we can manage? All these are worries. But the Lord say, don't worry about what you eat, about what you drink, and about what you wear from clothes. At the time of Jesus, people's life were more simple than now. They don't have much of this hard work that we have nowadays, of hard study, paperwork, many documents you need to make and prove for certain thing to achieve or to get. They don't have this, Lord. They don't have the high technology at the time of Jesus. So when the Lord spoke about don't worry, he spoke about don't worry about what you eat and what you drink or what you wear, because that were most of their worries are. But the Lord said to them, don't worry. In the same way, even now, today, there are much things. Every one of us and every one of you who listen to the message is involved with, but the same principle, don't worry. God will handle the situation of tomorrow. Now, what we need for us so that we will not be worried, we need faith. We need faith. And that's why we pray to God to increase our faith. We read the Bible, we read the Word of God, we hear the message. Because the Word of God and the message will increase our faith. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the message of Christ. As we read the Word of God, our faith will increase. As we read the promises of the Lord, our faith will increase. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, for he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. The Word of God says that the Lord has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That will lift us up. Will lift up our soul and our spirit, that we don't need to worry about tomorrow, because the Lord will provide for tomorrow. But in the same way also, we cannot avoid certain circumstances. Like in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when a vast army of three main armies, they were facing Jehoshaphat. These three armies of Ammonites and Moabites and Edomites, this was a vast army. Joshua to pray. He said to the Lord, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You cannot avoid that certain time you are facing such a great and vast threat when you have not done anything wrong. Here at this moment, faith should be exercised. And we need faith to face the threats of tomorrow that the enemy would do against us. The Lord answered him. This is what the Lord says to you by the word of the prophet to the church. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Certain time we are worrying about if such thing will happen, how we will face it. Do not worry. The battle belongs to the Lord. There are certain times that you will face a situation the same what was facing the people of God and Moses, who led the people of God out of Egypt. There is and to the Red Sea, and they cannot open the Red Sea. They cannot cross the Red Sea. They don't have airplanes, they don't have bridges, or they don't have ships, and they cannot swim long distance. Even if they can swim, they can't swim with the children and women and old people. They have reached to the border of the Red Sea. You cannot avoid that. Certain time, you are facing certain problem in your life that you can't go forward anymore. You need to wait upon God to open for you the Red Sea. And you need for that not to worry. Don't be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. That is in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses encouraging the people, don't worry. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. In verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need to have faith. You cannot avoid certain circumstances in your life where you need the Red Sea to be departed. No one of us would be happy to see in front of him a Red Sea, and that Red Sea need to be departed. It is a very critical moments in people's life, in our life. But God allowed them. God allows such circumstances to teach us to have faith, to develop the faith in our life. Faith that enables us to overcome trial, hardships, and struggles. Therefore, the Lord said to us, don't worry. In verse 34, Matthew 6:34, the Lord say, do not worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The Lord say, don't worry about tomorrow. But if you look carefully to this verse, the Lord say, each day has enough trouble. So what the Lord say here? Be worried about today, because there are troubles today. Or he say that each day has enough trouble of its own. What he's saying to you is, instead of you are worrying about tomorrow, you should be worried about this day. You know, the point here, every day we have a lot of opportunities, and we need to take a wise and a clear decision and right decision to follow God and to do His will. And we need to take these right decisions. If you're going to take wrong decision this very day, then that wrong decision that you are taking today will bring you trouble in the future and in tomorrow. If you are not careful to live your life today as a wise, then sure you will have trouble for tomorrow. What you sow, you will reap. If you do a sin today, if you did the wrong things today, then be worried about tomorrow, because you are going to reap what you sow. So what you need to do to overcome worries? You need to do right today. You need to do your part today. Check yourself. Are you doing your part? Are you praying daily? Are you reading the Bible? Are you controlling yourself not to do sin? Are you doing what is right and just? Are you taking the right decision, wise decision? Or you are doing your own will and your own plan? If that is the case with you, then you need to be worried about tomorrow. But as long you are doing your part today, you don't need to worry. What is going on? That people are worried about tomorrow, but they are not careful to obey God today. And if you will ask them, why you are not doing this and that? Oh, because I am worried about tomorrow, because I am afraid, or because I am thinking, yes, that is tomorrow. But the Lord is telling you, you need to be worried about what you need to do today. I mean, somebody who have some high blood pressure. And I was praying for him. I have the Holy Spirit that he's telling me that he have worries. I don't have worry. He said, yes. I say, about what? He told me about my future, about the future, about my child. Because my work is not good. My income is not much. I told him, are you working well and hard? He said, yes. Are you doing your best to improve yourself and to get a better job? He said, yes. I told him, have you done your part? He told me, yes. I told him, then you don't need to worry. God knows you have done your part. Even with your small income, if the Lord is not allowing you to move to another job, then God knows what He's doing and He will provide for you. So you don't need to be worried about tomorrow. I ask him, are you praying? He said, yes. Then I ask him, are you reading your Bible? He said, no. I say, why? Because you are thinking too much? He said, yes. I say, why we need to read the Bible? Because the Bible contains the promises of God. And as we read these promises of God, we get assurance and joy and restoration and increase our faith, and our trust in the Lord will increase. So that will help us to overcome the fear and the worries and the doubts of tomorrow's. I tell them, you need to do your part. Not to think much, or do whatever you can to change that job, but you need to read the Bible, because you are doing your part. The only thing that you are not doing is you are not reading the Word of God that give you relief, that can give you assurance from the promises of the Lord. In short, if you have done your part about certain circumstances, certain problem, certain issue, certain thing, it is not in your hand. Whether you like it or no, certain thing in every issue, God will not allow it to be in your hand. You need just only to trust the Lord. You have to take it by faith. As long as you have done your part, be assured that the Lord will handle the rest of that particular issue or problem. Just ask the Lord, Lord, do I need to do something else? Be open to God and humble, and ask the Lord to direct you in the things that you need to do. As long as you are willing to do the things the Lord will show it to you. And as you are going to do it, then you don't need to think much about the rest. Be assured. God can work in ways that you cannot see or fathom or understand. And that is in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not in your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Don't think much. Don't think about your mind calculation. As long as you have done your part, trust in the Lord fully. As you have acknowledged Him in all your ways, and as you have put that particular issue in the hand of the Lord, then you trust Him, He will do the rest. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 and 5 Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Be happy. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? In verse 5 you say, let your gentleness be evident to all. Be gentle to everyone. Let everyone know that you are gentle. Why? The Lord is near. He is near. The Lord is in full control. The Lord knows what he's going to do or what he's doing. As long as you have done your part, then you cannot do more. You cannot add more to it. You need to trust the Lord. In verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. God sure will allow certain circumstances. How much you are diligent and active and smart and wise, but sure the Lord will allow certain circumstances to happen in your life that the things go on without your control. What you will do this time? Surrender everything to the Lord. Tell him, Lord, I trust you, my life and my cause. You will be the one to take care of the situation. You will be the one to take full control of the outcome of this trial. You need to trust the Lord. Luke chapter 12 and verse 24. The Lord say, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no store room or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. In Matthew 6, he used the word verbs, birds. But here he used raven. Raven or the crow, those are type of birds. Everyone does not like them, and some of the people, they are pessimistic when they see the ravens. Why he is here, the Lord ravens? Ravens, they are ugly. But even they are ugly, God is caring for them. Some birds like parrot or lovebirds, they are beautiful and people, they like to give them food or spend on them. But for ravens, who will be willing to spend or give time? But still, such kind of birds that no one like, God still care and love. How much more you and me? The Lord is encouraging us today with his word. Verse 25, Luke 12:25. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? If you are worried, if you are worrying, can you add 1 hour? No, but you are reducing hours. You are causing to yourself hypertension and nightmare and heart attack and palpitation, a lot of medical problem. What is can cause? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? If you cannot add 1 hour to your life, how much more about the more hard situation? Why you don't trust the Lord in your life? What the Lord recommend to focus on this day, this very day? What are the things that he need you to do? And in Matthew 6:33, the Lord say, he put that in the middle of the worries, in the middle of his message speaking about don't worry. He said in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. People are so worried to get much things or to achieve much things. But the Lord say, first seek the kingdom of God. Seek God. Seek his kingdom. Seek the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the word of God. Seek his righteousness. Seek what is right and just and do it. And then the rest and all these beautiful things that you are running after now, the Lord will add it into you. God wants us to live a righteous life unto him. That is another way to overcome worries. When you live a righteous life, the Lord will uphold you with his grace, and he will answer your prayers. In the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 16, the word of God say, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now the first part of the verse, he say, confess your sin to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. Sin causes sickness and spiritual sicknesses and spiritual bondages and hardship and troubles in the people who do sin. He say, confess your sin to one another. Not that if you do sin, you will go and tell, I have done this. What do you mean here? If you have done sin, you repent and come back to the Lord and promise him not to do it. And pray. And God will forgive you and he will release his forgiveness and release you from the bondage that were done from the consequence of your sin. But when you are doing wrong and you don't know how to come out from it and you fall into sin and you don't know how to come out, then you come to us or to the person who is responsible over you spiritually, like the pastor of your congregation or the elder brother who is beside you, or come to us and ask counsel and advice how to come out from this bondage of sin that you have done, or the trial that come upon you because of your sin. And then we will direct you, then you will be directed with the word of God, will show you the way to repent and the way to come out of it, and then we will pray together. The important here is repentance, and the prayer of a righteous man. Not that when you do sin you come for a prayer. Even if I will pray, you will not be delivered unless you repent. Our rule is to direct you with the word of God how to repent and how to come out. They will pray for you. Our prayer will be answered if you obey the Lord and repent from your sins. The point here, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Not only me, I should live a righteous life, not only the pastors and the leader of each and every local congregation should live a righteous life, but all the workers of the church and all the members ultimately should live a righteous life for the Lord, because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Verse 17 speak about Elijah. Elijah was a righteous man. One of the treatment of worries is to live a righteous life. When you live a righteous life, then you know the Lord is with you. He's listening to your prayer. Then the assurance will be there, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your life and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will grant you peace as you present your request, but you need to live a righteous life. James 5 verse 17 and 18, Elijah was a man just like you, just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would be not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. What is here noticeable is this statement. Elijah was a man just like us. Don't think that Elijah, he has three eyes or three hands or he has wings. No. Yeah, he is like us. But he had lived a righteous life, and he had faith in the Lord, that as he obeyed the Lord will answer his prayer. To overcome worries or to live not in a worry, you need to live a righteous life. When the Lord say, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow would worry about itself. Each day have its own trouble. One of the troubles that we face every day is the temptation of sin. And when you overcome sin and live a righteous life for the Lord, then the anxiety, it will be controllable. Don't say no one is righteous. Don't say no one is perfect. Yes, but God called us to be perfect, and God called us to be righteous people through the blood of Jesus. When he died for us on the cross for our sin, he died that we may die to sin, not to go back to it and do it all over again. We need to live a righteous life. Noah was righteous, was a blameless man, was a righteous man in his generation. That's why the Lord saved him. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. This is the account of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. He built the ark for the Lord. It took him almost 100 years. Why he was able to fix his eyes on the target and the goal? Because he has no anxieties. Because he was a righteous man. The Lord upheld him. We will read in the book of Matthew about the life of another righteous man. And see what is the importance of living a righteous living for the Lord. God will look upon you and care for you, and he will not allow you to fall into problems because you had obeyed the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, and we will read from verse 18 up to verse 24, and we will explain. It involved the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, how it came. And we will speak about life of Joseph as a righteous man. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. They were not yet married, but they were pledged to get married. But in the time of Israel, when they are pledged, it means they are preparing themselves for marriage. So they cannot separate. They cannot say we cannot marry each other. They have to make a divorce because they are married. Why he want to divorce her? Because she's pregnant. She's doing adultery. And he does not like to join himself with her. He's a righteous man. It's a problem. Is it a problem? And her situation. How he will manage? How he will handle it? Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's a righteous man, Joseph. So the Lord helped him. He solved the problem to him. He sent the angel to him. In a dream he spoke to him. He told him, don't be afraid to take her a wife. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and he will call him Jesus, because he will save his people. And he told him about the prophecy from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Why he told him? Because any prophecy that we receive from the Lord have to be confirmed by the word of God. He gave him the scripture. Being a righteous man, he knows the word of God, because he read the Bible, the word of God in his heart. I have hidden your word into my heart so that I will not sin against you. So he has, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, the revelation from the Lord, plus it is confirmed with the word of God, then he should not be afraid to go forward. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He obeyed the Lord. He is not in worry now. His problem solved. The Lord solved it to him, because he was a righteous man. He did not touch her or sleep with her before marriage, even after marriage. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He did not know her only after she gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's a righteous man. See how God delivered the righteous and helped him and solve his problem. So don't worry. You get worried only if you are doing sin and you are living a wrong way of life. Be very worried. Not only worry, be very worried if you are living in sin. The Lord will really discipline you. You repent today so that tomorrow will be secured. You sow today repentance, obedience to the Lord, you will reap the blessing, approval, forgiveness, spiritual blessing, and righteousness from the Lord. Luke chapter 2, we speak about another man who was a righteous man. And verse 25 up to verse 27. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was a righteous man, and the Holy Spirit, because he's a righteous man, the Holy Spirit was upon him or with him. Now the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit fill us if we are righteous people. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, the Holy Spirit moved him to meet the Lord. He went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. You see here, because he is a righteous man, the Holy Spirit is upon him and he is moved by the Holy Spirit. The righteous man moved or is moving by the Holy Spirit. So if you are a righteous man, that one big help for you not to live in worries. Psalm 34 and verse 13, the value of being a righteous man, how is helping you to overcome your struggle and not to live in worries. Psalm 34 and verse 13 onward, or let us read it from verse 12. Whoever of you loves life and desire to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his eyes are attentive to their cry. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his eyes are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from there. So if you are righteous, the eyes of the Lord is on you, and his ears is attentive on your cry, on your prayer. The righteous cry, verse 17, and the Lord healed them. He delivered them from all their troubles. So when you are a righteous man, when you live a righteous life, when you cry to the Lord, he will hear you and he will deliver you from all your troubles. Verse 19 up to verse 21. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Oh, wonderful. So now I understand, if I live a righteous life, the Lord will deliver me from many troubles, even big and complicated. Never mind. What I need to do today, I need to live a righteous life, so that tomorrow will be secure to me, because tomorrow will be sure in the hand and control of the Lord. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The voice of the righteous will be condemned. Wonderful. Even my foes and my enemies, if I am a righteous man, the Lord will condemn them. The Lord will deal with them. Psalm 37. What is the value of living a righteous life? Let us read verse 16. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. If you have little, low income, low salary, as long as you are a righteous man, you are living a righteous living, a righteous life, then God will satisfy all your needs. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The power of the wicked will be broken. Yes, Lord, I believe the power of the wicked will be broken, but you will uphold me, O Lord, as long as I am living in righteousness to you. In verse 19, in times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will have a plenty. That is the righteous. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the field. They will vanish like a smoke. The Lord's enemies, the wicked, God will deal with them like the grass. They will be vanished. The Lord will take them away. The value of being righteous, the Lord will uphold you. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will maintain you, will support you, will provide for you all your needs. Verse verse 23 up to verse 26. It says, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord uphold him with his hand. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. The Lord will uphold the righteous, and he will uphold their children and their children's children. So what I need to do today to secure the future for my son? I need to live a righteous life. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. They are always blessed by the Lord, the righteous. They have plenty. Even they are having a small income, but still they have a plenty, because the Lord will multiply all what they have, and his grace is abundant on them and on us as long we live a righteous life. Verse 29, Psalm 37, verse 29, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. That is how we are assured about tomorrow, and that is how we apply, do not worry about tomorrow. As long we are careful today, as long we are careful today, then trust the Lord that he is upholding your future in his secure, trustfully hand. Kneel down before the Lord at the feet of Jesus. Tell him, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your good promises to me. Lord, I surrender my life unto you. Lord, I understand that I need to obey you today so that you will secure for me the tomorrow. Oh God, I commit my life and cause unto you. I surrender everything. I repent from all my sins. Repent of all your sin now. Renounce them and promise the Lord that you will not do it again. Lord, uphold me and guide me and sustain me, Lord. I trust in you. Lord, let all the promises that we have here today, that I have here today from you, Lord, from your word, let be coming true in my life. I believe, Lord, they are coming true in my life. Lord, I pray for each and everyone who prays this prayer from his heart. Uphold him, uphold her with your grace in your hands, and assure her, increase her faith. And whatever problem they are praying and asking you, you solve it. You answer prayer quickly, Lord, so that everyone will know that you are a true God who are faithful to accomplish and to fulfill your word and what you promise. Lord, take this message by the power of the Holy Spirit and make it spread all over the world, and let it reach your people who are waiting to hear your word and message. And Lord, let the message bring you glory and honor, and the desire of your heart shall be fulfilled, and the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished by you, O Lord. We thank and we praise you. O Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.